There was a farmer who had a team of horses, and he made the comment one time that because there's one horse that just seemed to always want to pull, and the other one probably didn't do near as much work. And he made the comment, he said, you know, those are both willing horses. The one he likes to pull, and the other one is willing to let him. And that's sadly not only true for horses, but sometimes it's true for churches. In some churches, they have come up with this rule about, it's called the 80-20 rule, that says that 80% of the work is accomplished by 20% of the people attending that church. God never intended the church to work that way. He did not invent the 80-20 rule. It's something that we came up with on our own. But that is not the intention. God's plan for His church is for all of us who are followers of Christ to have a place to serve Him, so that we are making a difference in our world. And you probably have, maybe some of you have been in the military, and some of you have watched movies about the military, so you'll understand this. But there's a term called MIA, and that means missing in action. Yeah, and what they're describing is a soldier that has perhaps gotten lost, gotten captured, has been wounded, or much worse than that. When it comes to the work of the church, missing in action does not need to describe anyone who is a follower of Jesus. We all have a place that we are called to step into and to serve God. Now, I know there's lots of reasons why we don't serve God. Some people, they say, well, the reason that I'm not serving God really is a lack of commitment to Christ and to His church. My real interest is in things outside of the church and outside of God's kingdom. That's really what I'm interested in. I just come to church on occasion just to kind of keep myself in check. Others will say that I've tried serving, but no one trained me to do the job, and so I got tired, I got frustrated, and I just quit. Some have stopped serving because somebody else in the church criticized the way I was serving, and so I quit. Others have gotten so burned out because they tried to do too much work in the church, and so that's why I'm no longer serving. Some believe that they have served long enough. I've served my time, and so now it's time for these younger people to step up and to serve. Anybody say amen to that? I mean, the younger people should be stepping up and serving, shouldn't they? But they should. They really should. But for those of you who might be thinking, well, I've served my time, guess what? It is still your time. The last time I checked, you're still breathing, you still love God, and you're still called to serve Him. This is still your time. You haven't served your entire time yet. There's still time for you to serve. Some people have quit serving God because they served God for the wrong motivation. The reason they served God is because they thought, well, the pastor was going to love what I did, and he's going to say great things about me from the pulpit. And he never even mentioned my name, and so I quit. When it comes to serving, we're supposed to serve not because the pastor will acknowledge you, but because Jesus does. And He's the one we are to serve after all. I don't know what the reason is, but the fact remains many Christians have grown weary of this whole thing about serving God. And we've taken a back seat, or maybe just we've taken our place on the sidelines, and we're just not really there when it comes to serving Jesus. Well, our life verse of the day brings us to a verse that's all about serving God and stepping into a place of ministry, and it is found in the book of 2 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there, whether using the Pew Bible or your Bible or your app or just your abacus or whatever you brought to church this morning to get you to 2 Timothy. I encourage you to do that. This book in 2 Timothy was the very last book that the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament. He was in prison for his faith in Christ. And as he was serving there, he was actually writing to the churches and encouraging them. And Timothy was a man that Paul had been mentoring and had taken Timothy on several different mission trips and endeavors, planting churches around. And Paul believed Timothy was going to be the guy who would carry his mantle, who would be able to continue on the ministry of planting churches and building up the believers. And so Paul was writing Timothy as an aged warrior for Christ. Historians believe that it was shortly after Paul wrote these words to Timothy that Paul was beheaded for the cause of God's kingdom. Timothy was a guy, though, that seemed to have a tendency to retreat from the front lines. When it came to serving, he was willing, but yet at the same time, he was willing to let somebody else pull. Maybe it was because he had some health issues that kept him from serving as he should, or maybe he felt he was young and I don't know as much as somebody else, and so maybe somebody else should be serving God, or maybe he was just having a lack of confidence in serving. Whatever it was, Paul was writing to Timothy and he was urging him, and he urges us that it's time for us to step in and step up and step forward in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look into this passage from 2 Timothy, the first chapter, I'm going to begin reading with verse 3, where Paul says, "I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or be ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Let's talk about this issue of serving the Lord. And really, before we even talk about serving God, we really need to even get to the most important matter, that we need to make sure we are saved before we ever think of serving. Some believe that, well, if I do something good for God, like if I do some sort of charitable work, or if I give so much money into the church, then somehow that's going to give me some credit before God, and that on Judgment Day, He will overlook the wrong things that I have done, and He'll look at those good things that I've done, and then I'm going to be right with God. Can I just remind you, God is not in your debt. He isn't in anyone's debt at all. Even your very best work, on your best day, with your best intentions, is considered as nothing but filthy rags before God Himself. Salvation is a free gift. It's a gift that is offered to us that we can receive by faith, by trust, by gratitude. This weekend is a spiritual anniversary for me. 27 years ago yesterday, I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was on August 26th of 1990. It was at, go back one slide, please. You'll see the picture up there. There it is. That's the church that's Wesley Evangelical Church in Shiloh, Ohio. And it was there at that church about 5 minutes until before noon that I gave my life to Jesus Christ at an altar of prayer just right about at this area, at an altar very similar to this one. The pastor preached a message that Sunday. It was called, "What Are You Waiting For?" And he was giving 10 reasons why people wait on giving their life to Christ and really start following Jesus. And I don't know what his excuses were and what he was waiting for. He had 10 reasons. I don't know what they were, but you know what? I had mine. And as we sang a song, I was sitting right behind where Rick and Barb are sitting this morning, but I was sitting right about the fourth row. As we sang the final song, I just knew that I had to go forward to that altar, and I had to pray, and I had to find Christ. And so here is this, you know, this young guy that the only time you ever go forward in church is at the Catholic Church is you go to get communion, right? And you get your coat, and you make sure that you can leave right after communion so you don't have to stay for the final song. That's all I knew about going forward in church. But I knew God was pulling me, and He was drawing me to the altar where I could pray and I could find forgiveness. And so that's exactly what I did. I went to the altar and I prayed and I asked God to forgive me. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so that's what I did. I prayed and I confessed my sins. And I believed that morning that Jesus Christ forgave me of all my sins. I entered the church that morning as a sinner, and I left that church as a child of God. I entered the church that morning going to hell, and I left that church going to heaven. I left as a person who was a child of the devil, and I became a child of the King, someone who needed grace and as someone who found grace. That's what happened to me that morning. I know that God has saved me. I know that He has transformed my life, and it happened 27 years and one day ago that Jesus changed my life. As you might be thinking, well, how do you know for sure, Pastor? Well, let me ask you this. Are you married? Raise your hand if you're married. Yeah, wow, look at a lot of married folks here. How do you know you're married? Really? How do you know? Okay, we can talk about that later, but how do you really know you're married? You say, well, we went to the church that day, and everybody was there, and I went forward when the pastor told me to, and he said a few words, and I said, I do, she says, I do, and we did, and we kissed, and we're married. But how do you know? You say, well, it's by the commitment that we made, wasn't it? That we trusted each other. Really, it's by faith. And so you ask me, how do I know that I met Christ that day? It's by faith. It's by trust. It's by commitment to what Jesus said. He said, if anyone calls on the name of the Lord, he will be saved. If you confess your sins, I will forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I made a commitment to Jesus Christ because He made a sacrifice for me. And I place my faith in what Jesus has done for me. And based upon the authority of His Word, 27 years and one day ago, Jesus Christ changed my life. I'm rescued. I'm redeemed. So today I ask you, do you know that you're saved? Do you know with all certainty that God has forgiven you of your sins? Have you confessed your sins? Have you turned from your life of sin and you turned to a life of following Jesus Christ? Has He changed you? Before we talk about serving, let's make sure that we know that Christ has forgiven us. And if that has not happened in your life yet, that is the next step you need to take in your spiritual journey. And I would be so glad to talk to you after the service. I know Pastor Alyssa will be available after the service to talk with you if you need someone to pray with you. But guess what? You can pray right now. You can pray even as before this message is over and ask Christ, Jesus, I am so sorry. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and I claim You. Just like the pastor did, I claim You to be my forgiver and my Savior. And this day, He will save. That's what He does. He's mighty, mighty to save. And maybe you're thinking, well, we know all that, Pastor. I mean, we have been here for how many years now? And you've been preaching that salvation message? Yes, I am. Just give me one message, and that's the one I'm going to preach. But we know all that. Why do I have to remind you of that? Well, you know what? Guess what? Timothy knew all that too. And Paul said this. He reminded him again. He said, for this reason, because you're saved, you know, because that faith that your grandmother had and your mother had, and they passed that faith in Christ on to you. Because for this reason, he said, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. He said, because you are saved, Timothy, you are called to serve. That's what being saved is. And in part, as God saves us from a life that we're serving ourselves, He saves us to a life that we get to serve Him and we get to bless others. There's two ways that God actually equips His children for service. The first of which is God giving us His Holy Spirit. And we've been singing songs about the Holy Spirit this morning and inviting Him to come and to fill us and to enable us, to change us and mold us. And that's exactly what God's Spirit does. Here's what Jesus told the disciples just before He went to heaven. 120 guys or people gathered around. He said, I'm going to send what my Father has promised, that is the Holy Spirit. He said, but stay in this city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What He's saying is that these 120 here, you guys, you're the church. And there's a world of maybe a billion people at that time. And what difference is 120 going to make when there's a billion people? Not much if we do it on our own strength. But when we are filled with the Spirit of God who gives us power and love and self-discipline, He will enable us to transform this world for the glory of God. That's what God's Spirit does. And that's exactly what we read throughout the entire New Testament. And that's exactly what's happening today. As you reference Acts chapter 1, he said that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The only reason we're able to make a difference in Botswana, the reason we're able to make a difference in Waterloo or Independence or anywhere is through the power of His Spirit enabling us to make that change for Christ and for His glory. But Jesus is saying, don't even try to serve in your own strength. You will fail. But I'll give you all the strength you need through my Spirit. Some have said that some Christians tend to be like wheelbarrows. You have to push them. And I've met a few along the way, not here, but I've met some. Some say that Christians can be like canoes. They need a good paddling. And yeah, I'm guilty of that sometimes, so. Or maybe Christians can be like kites sometimes. They got to keep them on a string. You know, they always got to pull them along somewhere. Or maybe they're like a football. You don't know exactly which way they're going to bounce next time. Or maybe a Christian is like a balloon. They're full of hot air and they can blow up at any moment. Some Christians can be like trailers. You have to pull them all the time. Or maybe a Christian would be like a kitten, content only when they're petted. Just right. Not the other way. Just right. You know? How about if we'd be like a sailboat? How about if we just lift our sail and let the Spirit of God just blow into us and fill us and enable us and empower us to go where He wants us to go, to say what He wants us to say and to be what He wants us to be? How about instead of relying upon our own strength, relying upon the strength of God Himself to enable us to accomplish the work He wants us to do? That's what Paul is saying here. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is the Spirit of God who helps us to serve Him, who equips us to serve Him. That's one way God gifts and equips the followers of His, is through giving His very self, His very Spirit. He fills us. But there's another way, that is through the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts, plural. Take a look at how Peter shared this. He said, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He said, as each one has received a special gift. How many? Who all receives this special gift? Each one. And what are we supposed to do with the gifts that God gives to us? We are to serve one another. That's what we're called to do. God doesn't want us to miss the point. He hits this over and over and over again in His Word. That He calls us as His followers to serve Him. We are saved to serve. The question is, how are you serving the Lord? And I'm not talking, well, if something comes up, sure, I'll help. No, I'm talking about being proactive. Not reactive in your service, but proactively serving God as stepping into an opportunity, and I will serve God with all my might for as long as He has me here. Maybe it's on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. Maybe it's on different occasions as it comes up. But is your spiritual meter tilted towards serving or towards setting? God calls us to serve Him. And He equips us in order to serve Him. But you know, we have to be willing to not only to know those gifts of service, but then to grow those gifts of service. He calls us to serve Him, and He doesn't just leave us out there trying to figure it out on our own. I mean, if I were to call John up on Christmas morning and say, John, what'd you get for Christmas? You know, I don't know. You know how John is. No, he would not that at all. If you know John, you're going to know, well, this is what I got. He pulls out this big, long list. Well, I got this, and I got this, and I got this. He can tell me details of all the things. He says, I got everything I ever wanted for Christmas. This has been great. He can go on and on. You know, he's still talking, you know, and he come back. Oh, okay, still going. He's telling me all the great things he got for Christmas. When it comes to serving God, knowing the gifts that he's given to you, he doesn't want you to be in the dark about it. We actually can know and discover the ways that God has gifted us. We can know the gift that God has given to us and then know how we can use those gifts. I like how Rick Warren puts this. He uses the word shape to describe and to help identify this is how God gifts us for service. And the first letter stands for your spiritual gifts. And if you are a follower of Christ, God has given you spiritual gifts. And I actually believe that he can give us spiritual gifts along the way, not just, you know, 27 years and one day ago when I prayed to receive Christ, but he can give us gifts all along the way if he chooses to. He's a good father. He knows what we need, and he'll give us what we need. Maybe for you, your gift is teaching, and some of you are incredible teachers. Maybe your gift is encouragement. Man, I have been encouraged by your gift. I promise you this, I've never had an overdose of encouragement. I've had an overdose of discouragement. It doesn't take much, just a few sips. But thank you for your gift of encouragement. Some of you have the gift of hospitality. That's amazing. Just see, man, things just get, it's incredible how you just walk in and you've been invited me into your home. And some of you didn't invite me, but I showed up anyway. And man, it was just amazing. It was like there is this atmosphere that you're able to create that you just feel welcome. That's an incredible gift. What's your spiritual gift? The letter H stands for heart. What do you love to do? Maybe you love working on computers. Maybe you love working with children. Or maybe your heart is burdened for missions, or it's burdened for the neighbor next. What's on your heart? The letter A stands for your abilities. It's one thing to have a burden for something, but it's kind of nice to be able to do something about that. I'm burdened for my Minnesota Vikings, but I can't do anything about them. You know, they're on their own. But there are natural abilities that God gives to each of us. Alyssa is gifted in music. Tim is gifted in teaching. You may be very good with numbers or animals or with people that God's just, he's just gifted you in that way. These are just abilities that God's given you that you can use to serve God. The letter P stands for personality. And guess what? Not everybody's like me. Aren't you glad? I am. This would be a sad world if everybody's like me. Nothing would get done, honestly, till the last minute. And I'm a perfectionist and a procrastinator all at the same time. I mean, I am just a toxic mess. Glad not everybody's like me. Do you like routine or do you like variety? That's just your personality. It doesn't mean one's better than the other. It's your personality. Do you like working with a large group of people or would you rather just work with a few people? That's just your personality, and that's good. I like working with a small group of people. Don't ask me why I'm standing up in front of church. Man, I'm much more comfortable in a small group, honestly. What's your personality? Finally, the experiences of your life. Yeah, we have our work experience that God can use and shape us. We have our educational experience, whether it's at school or the School of Hard Knocks or whatever school you're going to right now. But you know, I think through some of the biggest experiences that God uses and shapes us are those painful experiences. When God leads us into pain, he is able to use those for his good. Here's the thing. God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes your hurt. In fact, Romans 8:28 says that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In fact, the comfort that you receive through your pain, God enables you to use that to comfort someone else going through something very similar. if you want to know how God has gifted you to serve. And you know, I encourage you to prayerfully just pray through your shape. Pray through, what are my spiritual gifts? What's on my heart? What are my abilities, my personality? What are my experiences? Pray through those, and you know, just let God open up your understanding to how He has gifted you. You can know how God's gifted you. But knowing those gifts is one thing, but you have to grow in those things. I know how to throw a curveball. I'm not very good at it. I cannot really control it very well at all. But I know how to. I can throw the ball fast enough, and I kind of know how to hold the ball so it will curve on occasion. I told you I'm not very good. It's one thing to know. You've got to grow, though. What I need in order to get better at throwing the curveball is probably a little practice, right? That'd help. I do need some training, don't I? I need somebody who knows, who can give me some good feedback to be able to say, no, Bob, this is what you got to do. You got to hold that ball just like this. And when you release it, you're going to have to put a little more spin on it. There's ways that you can do it. And they know, and maybe I don't know. And I need that practice, that training. I need that feedback. Isn't the same true when it comes to our spiritual gifts? When serving God, we need practice. You know, don't just wait until I'm good in order before I step in to serve. No, start serving. Practicing your gift. Get some feedback. Get some training so that you can become more effective. 26 years ago, Amy and I got married. I wasn't a very good husband back then. Didn't have a lot of practice. But guess what? Over time, I believe I've gotten better. 25 years ago, I preached my first sermon. I've given those people their change back since, all right? I mean, it was so bad. I mean, it just was really bad. Here, can I just tell you this? Okay, here's how bad it was, okay? If you think this is bad, you should have been there. Okay, in public, my public speaking course in college, my very first public speaking message was on the hospitality of trees. Seriously, that's my inspiration. It's the best I could come up with, all right? Okay, so, you know, the bar was set pretty low, all right? But guess what? I've gotten a little better over time, all right? Because you practice, train, you get some feedback, and you grow. Please do not allow your lack of experience be the reason that you still don't serve Jesus. Please allow yourself to be opened up to some folks who can come alongside of you and help you to serve Him more effectively. Listen to what they're saying to you. Learn from anybody. Richard Taylor said we need to learn from the lowest. There's someone in your class, Louise, and a child who says, Miss Louise, this is terrible. Listen to them. Maybe we can learn something from them. We need to learn from anyone, to learn and to grow so we can know and grow those gifts that God has given to us. Serving is not a got to proposition. We don't got to serve Jesus. It's a get to privilege. I am privileged to serve the King. Seriously? Me? I get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What an incredible privilege, because I know my track record. I know my history. And yet through God's amazing grace, He is the one who counts me worthy. Not because of me, but because of Him. It's not a got to, this is a get to. What an incredible opportunity to serve God. Look again at what Paul says, because we have to serve God in God's way. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. When we serve God, we don't do it because we're afraid or because we're fearful of what might happen. No, we serve God through His power. We serve God through the strength of the Holy Spirit. We're able to love other people, especially those that are really hard to love, through the power of His Spirit. We're able to have wisdom and understanding and to make decisions that will change this dark and dying world through the power of His Spirit. We must serve God in God's way, not in our way. That may mean saying yes to some things you'd rather say no to. That may mean saying no to some things you wish you could say yes to. A man was traveling down a road and on his way to the store, and as he was going that way, some guys jumped him from an alley. They beat him up, they took his wallet, and they left the guy laying there half dead on the road. A little while later, the pastor came by and he saw the man lying there bleeding and half dead, and he thought, gee, if I stop and help this man, what's going to happen to me? The pastor kept on walking because he had to get to church, right? It wasn't too much longer later that the song leader walks by and sees the man laying there all beat up and bleeding. And he said, if I stop and help that man, what's going to happen to me? Besides, I got to go to church and lead songs. So he kept on going, went to church. A few minutes later, another man walked by, who, by the way, wasn't going to that church. Saw the man there bleeding, and he stopped. And he looked at the guy and bent down, and he said, they beat you up, didn't they? I know that's like, I've been beat up too. They robbed you, took all your money. Yeah, I know what that's like. They robbed me and beat me up too. They left you here bleeding and hurting, and everybody just keeps walking on by without helping. I know what that's like. They walked by me too. They said, Mister, if I don't stop to help you, what's going to happen? He stopped and he helped the man, did the very best he could. A few short weeks, we're having our fall ministries begin. We need your help. That may be the opportunity of service that God is opening up for you. If you know the Lord and you're walking with Him, there's a place that you can serve Jesus. It may be helping a child for the very first time understand what John 3:16 means. It might mean for you that you're willing to step into a place of service through one of our worship services. We need help in our media room. We need help in the nursery. It's going to be honest with you. We have folks who are serving too much in those areas. They're getting burnt out. And I won't blame them if they stop serving. They need you to step in to help carry the load. For you, it might mean serving on a board or serving on a committee. It may mean for you going to Mexico and building a house. It may mean, well, I can't go, but I'll be your prayer partner. Will you? Because I need them. For you, it might mean meeting your neighbors, building a relationship. Maybe there's a coworker that you have that they are far from God, and you're thinking, well, the only time they talk about Jesus around here is when they're swearing. That's why Jesus has you there. He has you there in a place where there's not a whole lot of God. He has you there to be a light in that dark place. The one thing I do know that your service will be is not missing in action. That's not God's plan for you. So again, I'm asking you, what is your service? See, God gave His Son to us to serve us, and now what we give back to God and out of gratitude is our service to Him. I want to pray with you right now that you would find your place of serving, whether it be within our church or within the community, or it could be to the ends of the earth. Let me pray for you.